We've been studying here in the book of Jude, and we have gotten down to verse 7. That'll be the verse we'll look at in our study this time. We talked in the last lesson there about the angels that sinned, left their first habitation, revolted against God, and went after strange flesh. And, of course, the Lord judged them very severely, putting them in the regions of Tartarus, which is a prison house of fallen demons. And so we want to look at the 7th verse here in the book of Jude, and it deals with a subject that not many people want to talk about today. As a matter of fact, if you mention anything in Canada on the airwaves regarding homosexuality or lesbianism, you're subject to a $5,000 fine. We had a radio program up there, and it went off the air about the time they passed that law, and I was almost glad because I didn't want to get sued because it is a law in Canada. I would not doubt but what soon it will be a law here in the United States, especially if our present administration continues in Washington. I would not at all be shocked if we were to come around to a time like that. And if that be so, it will be where you cannot even read the King James Bible on the airwaves, because of the very verses like we'll look at today and others that I'm going to read. Now let's read our verse for our study. It's Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I want you to, first of all, look at the statements there about Sodom and Gomorrah. We have had thus far, out of the book of Jude, three examples out of the Old Testament of people that departed from God and went into the ways of sin. We call them the apostates. There was, first of all, the case here of the Israelites that died in the wilderness and did not go into the land of Canaan. There was secondly the case of the angels that sinned, and God cast them down to Tartarus, or down to hell, as Jude said. And then there is the example we have here before us of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's the third of the three examples out of the Old Testament of people that were apostates. It speaks here only of Sodom and Gomorrah. There were, in fact, five cities of the plains. There was Adama and Zeboiim, as well as a place called Zoar. Now, if you look at this map up here, there's not one that shows it like it ought to. You see the city of Zoar right here, from a little section right down here at the bottom. This is the big city called the Salt City in the Old Testament. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was right in here, and Zeboiim and Adama were all up here under the sea. Water now covers where those cities were. And if you'll note there that Lot fled to Zoar, and that's the only one wasn't covered by the Dead Sea. And not the only one, too. Incidentally, it was the only one that wasn't destroyed, because the others were all destroyed in the fire that fell from heaven. And Zoar was spared for the sake of Lot. And so you say, well, where are those cities? They can't be seen. They're under the Dead Sea. The Jordan River, in the thousands of years since it all happened, has pumped mud and slime down into the Dead Sea and caused the water to rise. And so the water now covers the place where these five cities of the plains was, except Zoar, still high enough out of the ground that you could go and visit that. So we have talked about the cities. There are two others, like I said, but they're not the ones we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the two that's mentioned here. But these cities were called cities of the plains. They were found at the southern part of the Dead Sea. And so they do not exist where you could go visit them anymore. And what is remarkable about this whole passage here in Jude 7 is that Jude does not make any mention of Lot. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, but he doesn't mention Lot at all. You know, after Lot ended up in that cave with his two daughters, he's never mentioned again in the Bible, except by Peter over here, who talks about just Lot. And then Jude completely ignores him. He says nothing about Lot at all, though in 2 Peter chapter 2 there's mention of that. So now we've said a little here about Sodom and Gomorrah. Then it talks about the cities about them in like manner. That, of course, would be Zeboim and Adama that were also near there. But now look at the words there, in like manner. In like manner. A.T. Robinson says that means like the fallen angels in the verse before. And he makes it very plain that the construction of the original text in the Greek language would not permit any other meaning. Farah, another very noted scholar of the Old Testament as well as the New, says that is exactly what the meaning of it means, in like manner as the fallen angels. Henry Alford, another man that wrote commentary on the Greek version of our New Testament, says that that's definitely the meaning of the construction there. H.D. Salmon, a man who wrote the pulpit commentary, says it means like the fallen angels. So the problem with the fallen angels was they went after strange flesh, exactly like the Sodomites did. Only in their case, angels assumed the forms of human bodies and went after women on this earth. There was born the race of giants, or demigods, as I said they ought to be called, because it was part angel and part man. That's why God sent the flood and destroyed them. They lived again in the valley of the giants in the days of the Israelites, and the Israelites were told to kill them, and they did. And Goliath, that was killed by David, was one of the giants, which I believe was an offspring of the unholy union of angels that assumed human bodies and cohabited with the daughters of men. Well, let's look at that statement there about giving themselves over to fornication. We hear the word fornication used quite often today. Most of the time, we think it has to do only with people having sex before marriage. However, the word fornication in the Bible does not always have that meaning. It may have that meaning, like we use it today, but there are times that it may mean things that are perversion of sex even. And it definitely has that meaning here. I guess we might say that the word that is rendered here, fornication, would be the word that would be sexual impurity. That would be all forms of perverted sex as well as unlawful sex. It would include what we call today fornication. It would include adultery. It would include lesbianism, homosexuality, cohabitation with a beast. We could go on and on. All of that would be covered here by this simple word that is used here, fornication. Incidentally, the word that occurs in the Greek here occurs nowhere else. It means utterly unchaste. In other words, as immoral as you can get, as bad as you can get from the moral standpoint. And so the word fornication has a lot of different meanings, especially in the New Testament. But here it just means unchaste in the lowest sense of the word, as bad as you can get. You name it, and it will include it. So they gave themselves over to fornication. Then it goes on beyond that and says, and going after strange flesh. Going after strange flesh. Now that is the part that has troubled a lot of people. The marginal note there says after other flesh. But it'd still be strange flesh, like our version has. If you want to say other flesh, it's still strange flesh. You have here, first of all, the sin of fornication that included premarital sex, included adultery, a lot of other impure things, no doubt. But then we have the statement here about strange flesh, and that's the what part we want to look at the most. It does not mean that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah went after other women that were not their wives, a common thing that happens sometimes today. But it means that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah went after other men for sexual purposes. In other words, they were homosexuals. That's what it means. And there's no need to try to water down the verse, because that is precisely what that means. Going after strange flesh. Have you ever thought about the old term for homosexuality? It wasn't originally called that. That's a new term we came up with. The old term was sodomy. You may sometime read in a press report, even today, sometimes in a local paper, it'll talk about somebody sodomized somebody. Well, what does that mean? That means that man was with mankind, as they should have been with womankind. take terms right out of the Bible there. So it is the sin of sodomy, and it goes back to the time of Lot and Abraham. It goes back to those people that live there in those cities of the plains. And evidently that's when it all got started, when all this sexual perversion came into being. And no wonder God rained fire and brimstone upon those cities and destroyed them, because that's about all they deserved, as one man said. Now this word strange flesh, it occurs about 98 times. That is strange, the word strange, but most of the time it's always translated other. But here it's translated strange, and probably that's the only way to convey the meaning there. Now let's go back and look at some of the sins of Sodom. Go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. And some of these verses are some that people hardly ever read, and they say, well, we didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, if it's in the Bible, we ought to look at it, because we're to study the whole book, not part of it. So go back to Genesis, the 19th chapter, and you can see some things here about these cities of the plains and some of the problems that they had. You'll see, first of all, how that Lot was taken out that he might not be destroyed with the Sodomites. It says there in the 19th chapter, beginning at about verse 4 and 5, and he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early, and go out of your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street at all night. Now this is two angels, looked like men, that came to see Lot. The other one, of course, had stayed with Abraham a while. That's why he's not there. And then look at verse 4, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of Sodom, here's where the term sodomy came from now, even the men of Sodom compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The word know there does not have the meaning of get acquainted with, because it said Adam knew his wife and he bore her a son. So that's what the word means here, just like it does over there in Genesis, the early part. So, in other words, they said, bring them out that we may sodomize them. That's literally what they're asking. And you can tell from what Lot said what he understood, too. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And of course, if you go on and read the account there, the angels smote the men with blindness that they couldn't find the door, because they were determined to break the door down and come in anyway. So this is where the term sodomy first came from, right there. You can tell that they were all a bunch of homosexuals. That's exactly what they were. Now, the Old Testament has some strong language about homosexuality. And they can pass laws where you can't read the Bible on the airwaves, and they can do all they want to. It won't change the Word of God. It'll still read exactly the same. And people may have changed their minds today about this sin. God's never changed His mind. And the Bible never changes in one generation to the other. For instance, know what God says about it in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, verse 22 and 23. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. And this is, of course, the famous sin that is condemned many times in the Old Testament. It's also condemned in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 1. I want you to see that. Look in Romans, chapter 1, and you can see how they're apostates. If you'll compare verse 24 down to the part that deals with the homosexuality. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. It goes on to tell how that God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Now, if you'll note here, they knew the truth. And I think he's talking about the Sodomites and all the other Old Testament nations that exist. But they gave up the truth of God. And they went off into these sins of immorality. And of course, God rained fire and brimstone upon them because of that. Now, some of you might say, well, now what does the Bible say about a practicing homosexual? You know, the press got a lot to say about that today, mostly pro rather than con. They're very favorable to the idea. Well, if anybody wants to ask that question and open up the Bible, it's very simple. God said they're going to hell. So, well, could a homosexual be saved? Yes, but he's got to give up his sin. He's got to give up his sin. You say, how do you know? Well, listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuals, lesbians. Some modern versions render it that way. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So people can pass all the laws they want to. They can try to say that it is an alternate lifestyle, and they can put it in the school textbooks that it's all right. They can do anything they want to do, but they cannot change the Word of God. God has been against it from the beginning, and He's still against it today. He hasn't changed His mind about any of that. People may have, but not Him. And then again, there's another verse that speaks against it over here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm showing you all of these because it's a contemporary question and you're going to have people to ask about it, and you need to know where the scriptures are that deal with it. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, know this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. There's homosexuals and lesbians again. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So God, time after time in the Old Testament, has condemned this sin of homosexuality and lesbianism. One other verse I want you to look at in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn to the 23rd chapter and look at the 17th verse. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Now your Bible probably has a number there of some kind at the word whore. I've got it too. Over in the margin it says sodomitist. What that is, that's the Hebrew word there, that's the feminine form of the word sodomy, or sodomite. Would be a lesbian then, would it not? That's what it would be. So if you put this in modern English, it would read like this. There shall be no lesbian of the daughters of Israel, nor homosexual of the sons of Israel. That's the modern term for what's called here sodomite. So God said He didn't want His Old Testament people to have among them any lesbian or any homosexual. So what did they do if they found one? Well, that's a good question, but the answer is not hard to come by. They were executed. God killed them. The people stoned them to death. That was the law of the Old Testament. It carried the death penalty. If you were discovered to be one, you were executed. So I suppose if they had gone around in Israel demanding their rights, they would have got the right that God gave them. They would have got stoning. So that's pretty strong, preacher. Well, I'm telling you what the Bible said. And so that was the right they had in the days of Moses and Joshua and the like, was the right to be stoned and buried because they would not be tolerated in society. Now that same construction that's found there in Deuteronomy 23 and 17 is also found in Genesis chapter 38, verse 21 and 22. And it's also found in the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 14. And it is the translation of the Hebrew feminine form of the word elsewhere translated sodomite. So it would be lesbian and homosexual would be the modern terms if you wanted to put it down where we could understand it in today's language. Somebody said, well, now why have you spent all this time talking about what people did way back there thousands of years ago in those cities of the plains? Well, what did Jesus Christ say would happen before he came back? Let's open up our Bibles and see. Go to the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. He said there'd be a revival of the sins of Sodom. And we've got it today. It's here. It's not going to be here. It's here right now. Look in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke at verse 28 to 30. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Somebody said, well, now, where did you get the part it was going to be like that before the Lord comes back? Keep reading. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I must confess that when I was a young boy years ago, we hardly even knew what a homosexual was. I guess maybe we might. Some of us have been smart enough to have some concept about it. And as far as a lesbian, I don't suppose somebody to use the term, we probably wouldn't even know what it's talking about. We're just so dumb and ignorant, I guess, out in the country or something. And years ago, if one was discovered anywhere, they were ran out of town on a rail. But now, they want to put them in the pulpits of churches. And they want to put them in the public schools to teach our kids. They want to put them in the government. Our present administration in Washington has over 30 lesbians and homosexuals in the cabinet. That's been reported in the secular press. I'm not saying anything that is not commonly known. And I do not understand how that a man can get up and say that he wants to defend the rights of the people in general when there's only 2 to 3% lesbians and homosexuals in this country, and yet he caters to them in everything that he does, whether it's health insurance or whatever, that's the direction that he goes. And I got serious problems with anybody that would go in that direction and only consider about 2 to 3% of the people and ignore all the rest of us. But you see, these sins are going to come back. They're already back. And it is alarming what's going on in our world today. I could hardly have ever believed that I would live to see the time that people would try to justify many of the sins so plainly condemned in the Bible. But I've lived to see it. I'm sorry to say that I have. I would have preferred that I didn't live to see it. It's very sad, but it's here and it's upon us. So here we had people in Sodom and Gomorrah that knew the truth. They gave it up. They went into these sins, almost animal sins, as it were. Brute beast, one writer called them in the New Testament. And so that's how it is. People know better than a lot of this. They know the Bible's against it, but they're dead set on doing everything that God said ought to be done or not done. They're going to reverse it all, do just the opposite of what God said. That's what they're out to do. And so a lot of people today even profess to know God and do all these things. Now, long ago, I saw a preacher on the front page of a paper. He was a homosexual and said he was preaching and pastoring the church. Well, I don't know how he can do that. They may let him in the church, but God's not going to let him in heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. He may get in some church, but he's not going to get in heaven, so he better think about that. You know, the worst sins that ever come along are the sins that draw people away from God. You know how Christ condemned those that would harm one of the little ones there in the New Testament? Said it'd be better if a millstone was hanged about his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. And then he talked about how the scribes and the Pharisees shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They wouldn't go in themselves and they wouldn't allow anybody else to go in. Well, the sins of the Sodomites were sins that caused people to go away from God. Even poor old Brother Lot got backslid while he was down there. Got to be mayor of the town, got to be in politics, and he got backslid. He was delivered out of the town, out of the mercy of God by the two angels. But his wife was turned to a pillar of salt. And his married daughters all perished in the fire and brimstone of Sodom. He got out of there, but he didn't bring much with him. God judged him very severely. Now, another thing that we want to look at this text, and it's easy to get bogged down in this one point because it's such a problem in our modern world. It says, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We have a lot of people today that do not believe that fire in hell is real. But I believe exactly as I understand the Bible teach, there is real, literal, physical, material fire burning in hell. Jesus preached hell fire. Matthew 5:22. Now he said suffering, that is, being held under, as it were. They're right now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Somebody said, now wait, the fire's already burned out, the sea's covered it all. He's not talking about their bodies, he's talking about their souls burning in hell. That is eternal fire. So suffering punishment. They're suffering punishment right now. They've been suffering punishment for thousands of years. They're still burning in hell. And the end is not in sight. Phileo, the Jew that lived in the time of Christ, who was a historian, wrote and he said in his lifetime the water hadn't covered these cities. He said the fire still burned. The fire still burned. I guess it was like an oil field burning because there's a lot of oil there. Said the fire still burned in his day. It may have been burning when Jude wrote this book. But since the waters covered it in 2,000 years. But he said the fire was still burning. Somebody said, well now, Jude is using that only as an illustration, as an example. Very well, but an example must have reality on both sides or it's not an example. So you can't get rid of hell fire by saying it's merely an example, because if it's an example, then they got to be alike. So again, you have to have real fire there in hell. I sometimes get amazed these modern translations tries to do away with the suffering the vengeance of eternal fire there. The old versions of the English Bible all translated exactly like our King James Version has it. They have come out with a lot of new versions now that changes it all and puts the fire out. You don't have any fire when they get through with it. But I still believe it ought to read exactly like it is here. You know, there's a great warning in this verse in Jude to people that would follow what they call today these alternate lifestyles. It'll end in great judgment from God. Great judgment from God. And these people that Jude is writing about here, they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They'll go on suffering that vengeance forever and forever. Now, somebody said, well, it's a terrible thing these Sodomites did. You know, Christ said there were some people worse than the Sodomites. What? That's right. He said there were people worse than the Sodomites. Well, that's about as low as you can get. That's people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Where do you get that? Well, what about what he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23 and 24? He denounced a lot of the people that lived in his generation. What did he say about them? And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Quite a statement, isn't it? Now look at verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. People that see the record in the Bible about Christ and his miracles and life and ministry, and don't believe it, the Sodomites may be better off than they are in the hereafter according to that. The word tolerable means more enduring. These people had seen the miracles of Christ. They'd heard his great sermons. They had seen that he was very God as well as man of man. And nevertheless, they didn't believe upon him. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And so the Lord said, if all the people of Sodom had seen all of these miracles that you've seen, all these sermons that you've heard, said they would have long ago repented. And so he said, it'll be more enduring for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So those that reject the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, reject what the Bible says about him, in a manner of speaking, are just as bad off, if not worse, than the Sodomites. They're just as lost as the Sodomites. So it's very important that men repent of their sins. They believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what a person's lifestyle may have been, he can be saved. The thing about it is, he's got to leave his sins, though. You can't keep your sins and be saved. Christ saves his people from their sins, not in them, but from them. There's a difference in the two. Well, that's our message this morning from the book of Jude. I trust you may have gotten something out of that one verse. It said a lot more than I was able to say, I'm sure, but maybe you'll go home and have something to think about. Let us stand and we'll sing at this time.